And if we'd open our Bibles to Acts chapter 17. And I'd like to take one verse for our text this morning. For in him we live and move and have our being. I'm going to skip to the last part of that. For we are also his offspring. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come to you first of all as our God and then as our Father. For you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we've read a very short but wonderful scripture for our text this morning. And we would ask you, Father, that you would put skin on that scripture, O God. Yes. Our skin, Father. For you know that you've already put the skin of your Son on that word. And he manifested you, Father, to the world. And now, Father, we ask that you would put our skin on that scripture. In the precious name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, by the grace of God, actually I had hoped to progress through 11 paragraphs of Brother Branham's sermon from Christ's Mystery God Revealed, beginning at paragraph 159 and reading through paragraph 170, but I have to tell you that we're not going to make it that far today. I think we might not even get through paragraph 159. And you know, I hate to say this from week to week, as if I'm a broken record, but I'm very concerned for the people who claim to believe this message because I do not see the life that William Branham lived being lived by too many in the message. And so why do you suppose that is? Well, I'm not saying that we all have to have the gifts that he had. Of course we don't. And the ability to see visions that he had, of course we don't, although it is prophesied that the young maiden should see visions and the old man would dream dreams. But what I'm talking about is honesty and integrity and the desire to help out all who are in need. The desire to be a helping hand to others, a nature to weep in your soul and cry out to God when you hear of a little child being sick. And when God answers your prayer and the child gets better, the ability to worship and praise God for his loving care. I'm looking for that kind of a life in me, and I desire it. I pray for it. And I'm believing for it to just take over every fiber of my mortal body and bring it into obedience to every word of God, and I'm believing that for you as well. And I'm looking for that kind of life in all of you. And I'm beginning to see changes in you. Changes that show that your life is becoming surrendered to Christ, to the place that you aren't living for yourself. You have that desire to live for others. And Brother Branham said, eternal life is living for others. That's an evidence that I see of the Holy Ghost that's so important. Because even Satan can talk the word. He did a good job with Jesus. He gave him a lot of quotes, a lot of scripture. But see, it's also written. And Jesus said, I am the way. The truth, that's your doctrine, and the life. And they want to leave out the life. And you leave out the life, you might as well just be a parrot. And you can quote, quote, quote. Yes, I believe we all want that kind of life that William Branham lived before us. That life that was always about his Father's business, so conformed to the image of his firstborn, of the firstborn son, Jesus, that many people even thought he was Jesus. That life that did not look on the sinful nature of a backslidden brethren with disgust, but with sorrow and empathy and with mercy and grace in his heart, until his prayers became the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And we saw how God honored his life and his requests and his prayers with amazing miracles, which only God could do. To know that your life is so in love with God, your Father, and with his eldest son, Jesus, that you only want to be like him, that he has a preeminence in your soul, in your strength, and in your breath that you take. And so you love to walk with him and to talk with him until the natural next step will be the change come over your mortal body, bringing you into immortality that you may walk with him and talk with him forever as a son would walk and talk with his Father. And I'm believing that one of these days, as you become more sincere in your walk, that you will begin to see that same power and that same presence of God in your life as William Branham saw in his life, walking with God in fellowship as he did in those Colorado mountains when the Holy Spirit said, "Stay a while with me." Then you will see victory and never defeat. Then you will see the blessings coming upon you and overtaking your life as promised in Deuteronomy 28. But what we have today in this message, like everywhere in the world, is politics instead of love. Men vying for position within their camps instead of vying to become more like Christ. And I know people want to blame it on the preachers, and much of the blame can be placed there. But every person will have to answer for themselves. You cannot blame your own behavior on the behavior you see in your pastor when you see in the correct behavior in a vindicated prophet of God. Brother Branham said from Rising of the Sun, he said, "Well, now let me tell you something. My pastor, well, I don't care what your pastor says. It's what the Word says. Now, if you want to be a chicken, go on with him. But if the pastor speaks different from this Word, he's not a feeder of the eagles." Uh-huh. He's a feeder of the hens, see? Not of the eagles. Now, listen, you name the sin. And I think we've all seen preachers claiming to be pastors in this message who've done it. From adultery to taking advantage of widows to you name it, taking advantage of the sheep. And I'll tell you this, I have met a whole lot of Catholic people in my lifetime that live a more decent and honest life than many who claim to follow this message, and that's a real shame. Preachers more interested in making a buck than helping out the sheep that they've been given to help. Preachers who would pull a deal on helpless sheep, pulling their wool over their eyes and then covering up their own shame by accusing the poor deceived sheep of not having a right attitude when they finally realize that they've been taken for a ride where they didn't want to go. But brothers and sisters, there is a life to be lived. There is a life to be reflected, a life to be projected to the world, that Christ is risen from the dead. And he lives on in his seed. And that life and that reflection will be reflected in someone who's willing to die to themselves. Brother Branham said in his sermon, Rising of the Sun, he said, "Now, the very essence of the message that was sent, that he is risen from the dead. We, his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, we draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he's alive. We cannot do it by word only." You can talk doctrine until you're blue in the face and you turn people off left and right. And I'm not saying nothing against the doctrine. I love the doctrine. I've done more than all the rest, I think, combined to get the doctrine out. But let me tell you something. I don't see that's the end all. That's the beginning. Because when you know the relationship of the Son to the Father in that complete dying out to self and that obedience to the Father, and you see that in him, you want it in you as well. You see, that's where it should lead us. And Brother Branham said, we are the beneficiaries of his resurrection because his resurrection is in you. It's living in you. And he says, proving to the world that he's still alive. Why? Because he's in me. He's in you. And he says we can't do it by word only. We cannot do it by some traditions of man. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. So are we pointing to a church? Or are we pointing to the person of Jesus Christ? I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory. But we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. And you know that word in 1 John 5, and I believe it's 20, somewhere in the fifth chapter anyway, 1 John 5. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. The hath is echoes. He that echoes the Son echoes life. Is your life echoing the Son of God? And if the life of the man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life that he lived. Now, how that can become a principle that has been bypassed, how that can become an axiom of misunderstanding, how men could bypass the very life of Christ and say, well, we have the doctrine, that's all you have to have. When a vindicated prophet of God says, and if the life of the man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life that he lived. In other words, you'll talk like him, you'll act like him. You'll do the works he did. You'll love like him. You'll do the things that he did. If the blood of a man was a certain type, and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of another man into another, he'd absolutely be that blood type. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, that's the key. If you are willing to die to yourself, he says you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it also quickens your mortal body. It brings this mortal body to life. Whose life? Christ's life. That same life, them same powers, them same beneficiaries, in other words, benefits that he had here on earth from God. He redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. And that gospel light of the resurrection, the confirmation of the word, how did he know he was the Christ? Or how did we know that he was the Christ? Because he proved it, what he talked about. Does your conversation prove you're a Christian? How will I know the message of the hour? God proves what he promised and he talks about. And from the message, Shalom, Brother Brown said, God is a man. God is in a man. And he's identifying himself today in his church, in the born-again Christian. God identifies himself that he remains God. And the outside world will only know God as they see God in you and I. That's the only way that they'll know God. Is when we are written epistles of the scripture, we are read of all men. And the life that we live reflects what's on the inside of us. And a man is identified by the works that he does. So look, if you've got a church with no works, it's dead. Period. It has to have works in order to reflect the life that's in it. Or there is no life in it. You understand? So our works should be good. See, always good because we are representing our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is, especially when an old man like me stand here and think of the life that is fading away, that's gone in the past, and we're facing a future of an eternity, and knowing if in this life only, is what I had hopes in, I would be the most miserable person this morning. But knowing that this life has only been a shadow of what we had to come, it's a reflection because it cannot be the perfect thing that God made. God doesn't make anything that perishes. See, God is eternal. And therefore, this life that we now live in is only reflecting what is ahead of us. The real one that cannot die. The body that cannot perish. The life that cannot be taken. See? And therefore, the scripture is right when it says that we have everlasting life. We have eternal life. We shall never die. See? Because you become, when you're born again, you become a part of God. See? You are forever, for eternity, never to fail. You are part of God because you're his son. And let me tell you something. If you have this love relationship with your father, and you know that there's a relationship there, you're not going to miss a rapture. Because, look, he wants Brother Branham said the threefold purpose: God to manifest in His Son, God to manifest in His children, and now God to have fellowship. Because that's what it's all about. How can you have fellowship if your mind's going this way and He's walking this way? If you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. He's trying to get a hold of your heartstrings, brother, sister, to become like Him. So that you can understand Him. Because He said, if My Spirit is in you, you will understand the things of God. Because no man understands the things of a man except the Spirit of man be in him. And no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God. And so if you have the Spirit of God, you begin to understand. And so when He talks to you, it's not blue light bulbs or, you know, it's not foreign to you. God has got a hold of your heart. You're talking to Him. He's talking to you. You're having fellowship. Amen. Now, His life reflected in us. He said He proves that He's not dead, see, and His promises are still alive. Now, when you're born of the Spirit of God, you are a part of God. That's all. You are identified with Him, that He is your Father. Then your life should reflect Him as your life reflects your earthly father in the image that He was in. They might say that you look a whole lot like your earthly father, so then, therefore, it's His image reflected in you. And your father and mother are reflected in you, your attributes and characteristics. And so God, as our Father, is reflected in us when we're born again and we are becoming conformed to His image. And older we get, I'm talking about maturity, Christian maturity. The more Christian mature we become, the more we become like Him. You see? From Sir, we would see Jesus, Brother Ramson. Now, according to the Scripture, we are supposed to be written epistles of Him. The Bible says that we are written epistles. And if tonight we would hunger and thirst to see the Lord Jesus Christ, we as Christian believers should reflect His life so much till it would be His entire representative. We should be that. Every Christian should represent and reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And I believe that every Christian should be reflecting the life of Christ. He said in St. John 14:12, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And then we know that that's the truth, that we are His representatives. And if we claim that Christ lives in us, and if Christ does live in us, then we should do as Christ did. We should reflect His life. You see, that's why John 14:12 was a no-brainer. It's just very common sense, because if we have the life of Christ, we're going to do the things that Christ did. You can't help it. Brother Bram said, I don't know how many times, hundreds of times, he said, if you've got the spirit of Dillinger, you're going to rob banks and have a guy, you know, shoot guns, rob banks. You're going to be an evil person. He said, if you've got the spirit of Mozart, you're going to compose music. He said, if you have the spirit of an artist, you're going to, you know, do art. But if you have the spirit of Christ, you're going to live like Christ. You're going to talk like Christ. You're going to act like Christ. You see? Now, from the Church Age book, the Ephesian Church Age, paragraph 37, Brother Bram said, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. How meaningful are those words when reviewed in the light of the Scripture, which describes Him as Christ, who is our life. Isn't that what Colossians says? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall manifest, shall phaneroo, shall manifest in His true character, then shall we also phaneroo, manifest in our true character. For Christ, who is our life, for Christ indeed is the life of the church. She has no other life. Without Him, she is simply a religious society, a club, a meaningless gathering of the people. As a corpse bejeweled and dressed is still a corpse, so the church, no matter what her programs and her gracious efforts might achieve, without Christ, she is a corpse also. But with Him in her midst, with Him motivating her, she becomes to the wonderment of all His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. And this very hour, He is walking in the midst of the last age's golden candlestick. And what He was as He walked in the first age, He is even now in this last age, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I ask you, brethren, why is not the church today? I'm talking about those who follow the end time message, which is the Bible. Why do we not see, as we saw the early church, so committed, So on fire to get together, so on fire to talk the word, so on fire to be expecting God to answer prayer. Not just putting out, you know, a prayer request through the email so that it's, you don't even know anything what's going on, but who actually get on their knees and say, God, these are your children over here that are starving. These are your children who haven't had rain in 6 months. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, your son, that you would give them rain. And you know what? Within a few days, the rain came and those people are no longer starving. That's the church that God is coming for. Now, we said in paragraph 160 of Christ is a mystery God revealed, paragraph 335 in your books, he said, that's the only way that you'll know him today. The only way that you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it. And if it don't, you'll never see it. If you're not predestinated to see it, you'll never see it, because that light can flash and you'll go away and make fun of it and explain it away by some intellectual conception when the very God himself manifesting himself and proving it, see? But it ain't upon you to, if it ain't upon you to see it, you won't see it. You know, that's why they call some of you people the rainbow circle. Because they don't understand. That wasn't a rainbow. That was God. That was the same God that appeared in the same form and fashion as he appeared to William Branham. For the same purpose, I believe. Because the pillar of fire, Brother Branham said, would lead us to the millennium. He's still leading if we're willing to follow. You see, now remember, we discussed this last week. We looked at those threefold purposes of God, and we saw that the first purpose of God was to reveal himself or manifest his God life in his son Jesus. And he did just that. And Jesus was predestinated to be that uniquely born son to manifest the fullness of the Godhood in a body or in a body form, right? And he did it because he was predestinated to do it. No one else could have done it. And we found that the second full purpose of God was for the same God life to be manifested in his church, in his body of believers at the end time. And you'll never see it unless you're ordained to see it. And if you're ordained to see it, you will see it, and you'll see it in you and others of like-minded faith, others who have the mind of Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10, this is a scripture predestinating this. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Paul says the word that I'm preaching is going to be believed in that day. And he says, and when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be endoxazo. In other words, the glory of God, the values, the opinion, the assessment, or the judgments of God will be in you. Azo, and the word zo at the end is interesting, because it's actually from the root zoe. And the word zoe means a life expressed. You know, it's not just a life, but it's actually a life that's expression of that life, you see. Because a life that's not expressed is not a life. It's potential, but it's not a life. So when you have N in doxa, or values, opinions, and judgments, zo, expression, manifestation, magnification. In John 17:1, he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son. Notice he says, make thy son to reflect your values. Make thy son to reflect your opinion. Make thy son to reflect your judgment. Is that what we pray? Father, may I become your expression in this hour, that thy son may also glorify thee, that thy son might reflect thy values, thy opinions, thy judgments. In other words, if I reflect your values, Father, and your opinions, Father, and your judgments, I'm reflecting you. That's what Jesus was saying. In other words, it is in you. In other words, Jesus was saying, Father, it's you in me working to will and to do. And that is what Jesus is saying here, that he might become the very reflection of his Father. Verse 2, he says, and as thou hast given him power over all flesh. You might want to open your Bibles, because we're going to be in this a little bit. John 17, and we just read from verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and as he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. Now verse 2, John 17:2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Is that the desire in your heart? You know, if you are Messiah, you know what that means? You have the power to give eternal life. You have the power, brother, sister, to give life. so many times. You know, Brother Branham was standing up there, and those kids were making love in the front seat, and he was kind of rocking back and forth, and Brother Vell said, he sat back there and said, "Oh God, don't let him do it, don't let him do it," because remember, it's within that power to give life or death. How do we express giving life? By showing mercy, by showing grace, by having peace in those circumstances. Sometimes, you know, you let your emotions, listen, he didn't say, do you feel it? Do you believe it? Sometimes you let your emotions go. You get all caught up in the situation. Forget it. Get your eyes on the end of the road. How can I help this sinner? How can I help this person who's fallen? How can I help this person who's in a backslidden condition? How can I reach out and restore? That's giving life. You understand? And he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Look, what is the token all about? You've received that life and now you're giving it to your family. How do you do it? He said, clean up the house first. Show them that you really mean business. Clean up the house. Get things in order. Dedicate your life to God. Consecrate your life to God. As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And he says, and take this word and pierce it into your child. You know, talk about it when you come. Talk about it when you go. When you're laying down, when you're sitting at the table eating, you know, and breaking bread. Talk about it always. He said, and make such an impression on your children that it's like a sword piercing into them, that it'll become part of them. That's imparting life. You know, Brother Branham said that, you know, when he talked about the greatest works. Actually, Brother Branham, I did this study, you know, and I found a lot of quotes there. Where, you know, Brother Branham said, you know, he even said that when the church universally is actually reflecting Jesus Christ, he called that the greater works. Now, we know Brother Branham had within him, in his ministry, greater works. But, you know, Brother Bosworth had greater works, too. Because Brother Bosworth had 225,000 people that were healed. Now, we don't know that 225,000 people were healed in Jesus' 3.5-year ministry. But we know that in Brother Bosworth, because they've got a record of all those people that were healed. You see, we want to limit things so that, you know, we've got this certain understanding, and if you're outside that understanding, you just don't got it, brother. That ain't the way Jesus was. He wants everyone to have it. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And to him that's thirsty, come. You understand? He wants us to be Messiahs. He wants us to impart life. And Brother Branham, one of the beautiful quotes, I'll have to bring it out for you. There's like four times he says it. He said the greater works is to impart life. What do you think the third pole is all about? Had he right? Anything you want. What did she say? I want the souls of my boys. And that third pole was operated by Had he right. And it brought life. What about the little fish? It was given life, insignificant as it was. The third pole is to give life. We've got the third pole, brother, sister. We just don't recognize it. What are those three squirrels that time? What is that about? It's imparting life. Bringing to life something that was inanimate. It wasn't even there. That's what we're dealing with here. Messiahs in the image. And Jesus himself. He says, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee. Oh, if your children could just know him. Just know him. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And I have glorified thee on the earth. I have expressed your values. I've expressed your opinion. I've expressed your judgments on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And what was that work? Because he hadn't died here yet. What did he finish? Expressing those values. Expressing those opinions and those judgments. Can't you do the same? If you're predestinated to it, you can't help but do the same. And that is what imparts life. John said, he said, that which we've seen and heard and handled, the word of life. And the life was manifested. We've seen it with our eyes. We felt it. We touched it. And we declare what we saw unto you, that you also might have that life. This word glorified was translated again from the Greek word doxazo. And the word means the opinion, the values, and judgments of God. And the word zo or zoe, meaning the life of your values, the life of your opinions, the life of your judgments being expressed, manifested, or magnified in me, he says. So we see here that Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have magnified thee. Your opinions, your values, your judgments, dear Father. And I have finished the work that thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gave them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave me, and they have received them. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given to me, for they are yours, Father. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified now in them. Huh? My words, my actions, my life is now in them, expressing in them. Oh, I love this. Now here's where Jesus begins to change the order or the direction of his prayer. Upon this point, he was talking to the Father, or up to this point, he was talking to the Father of how that he had reflected the very life of the Father, his values, his opinions, his judgment to the world. And now he begins to pray for us. And he changes the direction of his prayer from showing the Father that he had reflected his God life in himself. And now he was asking the Father in that same prayer to do the same thing through us that he did through him. That God would also reflect in us the same God life, the same God values, the same God opinions, the same God judgments in these whom God has given to his Son as the steward of this God life. He now prays, and that's all we are, brothers and sisters. We're a steward of the word. And remember, my words are spirit and they're life. So we have a stewardship of the very life of Christ. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be the unjust steward or the just steward? Are we going to be given one and produce 10 from it? Given one life, that's this one, and bring 10 people to know the same life, to be filled with the same life? Or are we going to be the guy who buries it? I've got it, but... Because remember, the one who buried it got that taken away. There's your foolish virgin. They had oil. It ran out. You see? That God would also reflect in us the same God life. And he says, and now I am come, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And the word as means in the same manner. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What a tremendous joy to see that he was crowned, and that he was taken up to sit on his Father's throne. And you know, he said, that you might sit with me on my throne, even as I am sat down with my Father in his throne. Jesus is not a selfish person. He wants everything, every joy he's received, he wants you to have it. He says, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Brother, there's only one way you're going to find fulfillment in life. And that's a complete surrender to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that'll fill your heart with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Now, isn't that beautiful? He's asking his Father to give us his joy, that he might have his joy in having pleased the Father, in doing all that the Father had asked him to do, that we might also have that same testimony. And he wants for us the same as the Father expressed through him, that we might also receive the same joy that he received from accomplishing what the Father asked him to do. It might not be a big thing. But he asked one prophet to lay on his side. Just lay on your side. I'll tell you when to get up. That prophet every day for 340 days he laid on his side. Didn't get up, didn't move, because God came, when he's finished with that, he said, now, turn over on your other side and lay there another 40 days. I have given them thy word, verse 14. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, he asked God to sanctify us through God's own word. And aren't we washed by the washing of water by the word? And how does a young man cleanse himself? The Bible says, by taking heed thereto according to the word. That's David in the book of Psalms. Verse 18, and as thou hast sent me into the world, listen to this, as thou, God, my Father, hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the eldest brother in a vast family of brothers, he led by example. Not like the preachers that say, don't do what I do, but you know, say what I say, but don't do what I do. He said, live the life. Like the mug that Sister Helena gave me, Francis of Assisi said, go into the world and preach the gospel, and if need be, say a few words. In other words, let your life so shine. Let your life be that expression. And he said, but for them also which believe on me, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. As Brother Jimmy was telling me a story that one of the brothers that was close to Brother Branham told him. When Brother Branham said, you know, he said, this, you got these three fingers, he said, this is me in the middle. He said, and I have brothers here that hold on to every word that I say. And I've got a brother over here that's just really struggling. So I live so much like Jesus Christ to help this brother to receive and to believe, that it makes this one actually believe that I am Jesus Christ. Jesus here is saying, I sanctified myself. I led by such an example that they would want what I've got, that they could believe my testimony. You understand? That's what God wants from us. And then he says, neither pray I for these alone, and that's the disciples that he had there, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through John, Peter, Paul, the rest of them. And that is, look, Paul believed. Paul met him on the road. And that is you and me, brothers and sisters. He's praying right there for you and me. Do you see yourself there? I do. That they all may be one. All, A-double-L. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, are one in me, and I am in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How is the world going to believe the gospel when you got just preachers who don't live the life? And a people claiming to be Christians who lie, cheat, steal, and do everything else. That's more of a discredit. That'll do more harm to the gospel than anything else. More than every make-believer and unbeliever. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus is praying here that the very life of the Father that manifested in him would also enter us to do the same thing through us that he did in him. And verse 22, and the glory, the values, the opinion, the judgment, which thou gave to me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. So it takes the values and the judgment and the opinions, having the same opinions as the Holy Spirit, to become one. In the same way that Jesus and God were one. Now this word even here, it means in the same manner. So Jesus is asking the Father to be in us to quicken us to the same values that were expressing themselves out from him, that will also express themselves out from us, that the same opinions and judgments of his Father that express themselves out from him might express themselves out from us. Now, Brother Branham quotes this scripture in a sermon harvest time, and he says, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you are, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other one, and one man wants to be over the other man. But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we all might congregate together and all have a common creed or something or so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. And we also see his sermon show us the Father. He says, Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. He says here, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see my Father. In other words, and when Brother Branham says in other words, he's going to explain what that means. In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him, not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See, well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Remember how Brother Bell would quote that when they say, well, you know, Brother Branham quoted that and he says, you see me, are you looking at me, aren't you? Well, when you looked at that man, you saw Christ. Not that he was Christ, but he was reflecting Christ. You see, that very life was reflecting, projecting from him. So we see here in this prayer that Jesus was praying that the very same attitude of God's life that was in him and expressed through him was also to be in us and through us. And listen, brother, sister, it's ordained to be that way. So praise God, help me to die. Help me just to let go and to let God, because it's ordained. I'm claiming it. Listen, I'm claiming that for myself. You've got to claim that for yourself. I'm believing for you, but I can't claim it for you. You understand? You can apply the token for your kids, but you can't claim it for them. I mean, you can't make it. I mean, you can't be them, okay? But you can apply it for them. You can present that anointing so that, as Brother Vail said in 1983-84, he preached two times the Omega Reflection. He said Moses came down, the Shekinah was so reflecting from his face because he had been in the presence of God 40 days and 40 nights, that he was so filled with God and God's life that when he came down, the people saw it. They were afraid. They said, put a veil over his face. And then Jesus, and Brother Bram tells us, that's the traditions and creeds. You see, they put the veil over them, and through the years, it became just traditions and creeds because the life wasn't there. And Brother Bram said, if the people would have just stood there long enough, they would have begun to reflect the very same nature, the very same life. Hallelujah. He said in verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. One what? One spirit. We're all baptized into one body. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Jesus' own desire for fellowship. Jesus' own desire for the thirdfold of the threefold revelation. Walking in the cool of the evening, being at one with one another. How can you have fellowship? It's two fellows in a ship. You're sharing the same things. You're sharing the same life. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete. That means mature in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me, that thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Oh, that's such a beautiful, that is such a wonderful thought. He's asking you to be with him, that they may behold my glory. My what? my values and opinions and judgments, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. And if God loved him before the foundations of the world and gave him his values, his opinions, his judgments, because he loves him, and he's done the same for you, what does that tell you? He loves you. Amen. You know, you don't give your children your values and your opinions because you hate the kids. You want to see them have the same joy that you have. You try to express to them that same Christ-centered life so that they can have that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Like Paul said, where is our joy? Where is our hope? Where is our joy? Aren't we now in the presence of Jesus Christ? O righteous Father, verse 25, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou sent me. And I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it. Why? Because he lived it. The name Jesus, Yahshua, Jehovah Savior. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. It's all about love, brother, sister. And Jesus says in John 14 and 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Now the word comfortless here is translated from the Greek word, which means orphans. So Jesus, in effect, is saying, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Well, I'd like to ask the question, when is an orphan no longer an orphan? Anybody tell me? When is an orphan no longer an orphan? When he's adopted. So at the time of the adoption, I love this. Yet a little while, next verse. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Why? It's the same life. And at that day, you shall know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. At what day? At the time of the adoption. Oh, this is just choice. At the time of the adoption, we'll know that God was in his Son, and we'll know that God is in us. Hallelujah. Can't you see how all this is tying together? All things are working together for your good. Now listen, we are talking about the secondfold purpose of God, that God will be in his children, manifesting his God life to the world, just as he was in his Son, doing the same things. And listen, if we jump way ahead in our book to paragraph 448, you'll hear Brother Branham tell us about the secondfold purpose of God, as he says let's see, it's paragraph 208 in my thing, but it's 448 in yours, in your booklet. Now notice, God making himself known. We're not supposed to make converts to Christianity by a government, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ in you as God was in Christ. As God was in Christ, Christ in you. What God did in Christ, Christ does in you. What signs did God in Christ, Christ does in you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh my, I like that. Jesus said, at that day, that's this day, Brother Brown telling us when that was, at that day when this revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father and the Father in me, I in you and you in me, when the revelation is made manifest at that day. You shall know that I and the Father are one. I'm in the Father in me. Then when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you and you in me. There you are, see the manifold threefold. What for? To bring back. We've got to be, as Jesus said, as Jesus was the Word of God, he vindicated the same. If he wasn't the Word, he wouldn't have made manifest the Word. He'd have been some great theologian. Well, that would have been the real Messiah the world was looking for. Yes, sir, but wouldn't have been him. That's what they're looking for today. Somebody can exceed Billy Graham, or somebody can smother down with their organization, come up and show them Baptists, that they know more, they know where they're standing. Sure. They're looking for that. But the church is looking for the humility and the signs of the living Christ. You see, he says the world wants a theologian. The world wants somebody that can really explain in great, big, heaping words the doctrine. And that's not what he says. He said that wouldn't be Christ. He told us right here, they're looking, but the church is looking for the humility and the signs of the living God. Jesus wasn't a theologian. He was a common peasant, a carpenter's son, so-called. See, he walked around, but God, he said, some of you show me what the Bible said that I will do that I haven't manifested. So the church can do the same thing today, what Christ did. So does the church do now. That day you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, there you are, marching on to Zion to where the kingdom. At that day you will know that I'm in you. And listen, for those who think that that's only speaking of himself, he said the church, and Jesus said wherever two or three are gathered in my name, that's my church. It's not one person. And watch here. Here's the beautiful, he says. And watch here, here's the beautiful. I don't want you to miss this. Now everybody, and you people on the tape, that's all of us here. Out in the jungles, and wherever you hear it, now listen, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, see, now watch the Father that sent him, went in him, to vindicate himself, right? For he was the Word. And the same Jesus that sends you goes with you and in you to vindicate the same God. Amen. As the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so I'll send you, and you will live by me. What is he? He's the Word. You live by the Word. Oh, how I would like to take a text on that and preach about a couple of hours on it, see? Oh, on that, how that, and on that. And then paragraph 212 says, now notice, and the Father that sent me went with him. The Father that sends, that Jesus that sends us goes in. And a little while the world won't see me no more, but you'll see me. For I, personal pronoun, I, the person Jesus, will be with you even to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what he done, then see what you do, and then compare yourself. Brothers and sisters, this excites me. Because he said, as the Father sent me and went in me, so I will send you and go in you. Now listen, we're closer than you think. We are closer than you think. That's exactly what has taken place overseas. That same God that stilled the storm when Jesus was on the sea is the same God that stilled the storm in Colorado, is the same God that stilled the storm in Western Uganda. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's already working its way into the church. Hallelujah. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen the blind eyes opened. And time again, he has changed the weather to answer our prayers for his children in need. Just as recently as a couple months ago, when we asked the brothers were petitioning. They said, brother, please, we have real need of funds and stuff over here. The people are starving to death. And I said, well, I'll send you funds, but that's not going to end the problem. I said, brother, I said, I'm going to go to my pulpit and tell my people we're going to pray. And I said, and I want you to go to your pulpit and I want you to tell your people you're going to pray and you're going to ask, because he promised us, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done. And I said, and you tell them to be expecting the rain. And less than a week after we prayed, I think it was 2 or 3 days after we prayed and they prayed, the rains came. The rains came. Wonderful rains came. Really soaked the earth well. Brother, sister, he's doing these things. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James 1:5, we read, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. How many of you children, when you have to take a test, you take that scripture back to God? Father, I'm lacking wisdom. I just can't seem to get it. But you said, if any of you that lack wisdom, let him ask God that gives to all the men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. And not that it might be given, it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven in the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, when you go to God, you believe it. You give him back his own word. You quote him, like the woman knocking on the door of the unjust judge. And he said, if an unjust judge will give the woman her petition, what about a just God? What about a just king? And Brother Branham, in quoting Jesus, where Jesus said, what man would give his child a snake if the child asked for a fish? What man would give his child a rock or a stone if he asked him for wheat or for bread? He said, our God is not some vicious tyrant. Our God is a God who loves and cares. He careth for you. You see? And finally, in closing, James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts a sinner from his error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Jesus said, or John, in 2 John 6, he said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And so in closing, 1 John 1 and 7 tells us, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with the Father, and that is the third of the threefold purpose, is he wants to walk with us. Now, paragraph 85, Brother Branham said, now that's when he can express the preeminence, you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. That's secondly. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride, so that he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its right position, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, and fellowshiped with them. Brother, sister, we're almost there. We are there. The pillar of fire is here. He's in our meetings. He's in our midst. We're walking with an invisible God, but one day, when he takes us from here, we're going to, you know, when he comes incarnate in his Son again, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our God first, but he's also our Father, and he loves us. He loves you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you too. And you know, we know that we love you because you first loved us. And so we're just echoing back that love that you gave to us, and we're giving it to you. You gave us life, and so Father, we give you this life. As Hannah, when they brought the child, you gave her the child, so she's willing to give it back to you. You've given us life and light. And Father, we want to give you this light and life, that you might manifest in us. As we read in the beginning for our text, for in him we live and breathe, for we are his offspring, and we move. Oh God, move in us, oh God. Breathe in us, oh God. Help us to be in you, and you in us, even as you were in your Son, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his beautiful and lovely name that you gave him, to reflect your nature, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, I Love Him. I Love You, Lord.